There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Well, great to be with you on this Monday morning. An awful lot going on in Philly sports. It will be interesting, you know, later tonight, Monday Night Football, see how Jason Kelce addresses the situation from Saturday. I would imagine he will at the start of the Monday Night Football broadcast, but we'll see. When I say broadcast, I mean pregame show. And then obviously there's the Joel thing, and then there's the Eagles. And they're on a roll, four in a row. They're playing good football. And for more on that, we turn to our guy every Monday during the 9 o'clock hour, and that's Seth Joyner, one of the great Eagles players of all time and a phenomenal, phenomenal broadcaster in retirement. Seth, brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water matters, so whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. Mr. Seth Joyner, good morning, Seth.
What's happening, guys?
How are you, pal?
I'm good.
All right, so
it's understated. There you go.
So, Seth, let's just get right to your tweet, and then the floor is totally yours. So, I don't know what portion of the game, but I know it was during the game. You tweeted the following: "It's official, our head coach is an idiot." Seth Joyner, sir. A couple hours later, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't regret tweeting it. It is what it is. You know, you can't keep banging your head against the wall doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Just doesn't make sense to me. And as a head coach, the decisions you make should help your team have success, not for them to have to pull your ass out of the fire over dumb decisions that you make. So I just don't get it. You know, and when you begin to hear. See, and this is becoming problematic for me because I listen to what guys say in a different way. Lane Johnson says, over the bye, we had a conversation with coach. And, you know, we need to run the ball a little more. The run game needs to be. So it comes out, you know, unsolicited.
Yeah, totally.
It comes out. And then when Nick is asked about it last week, not only does he make reference to it, but he also makes reference to the fact that Jalen Hurts has asked repeatedly to be more under center. So all these narratives about him not being able to play from under center and him not being able to throw the ball all over the middle, that leads me to believe that our coach has something to do with a lot of the decisions that are being made that are not allowing this team to be what it can be.
Okay? Why would he limit things like that?
I'm going to answer for Seth, not that I agree with this. I think Seth's answer is because he thinks he's an idiot.
No, I think that...
And I don't agree with that, but you just think
he's
not...
Well, hold on. The problem was you and many people, Joe, seemed to think things were being limited because the quarterback problematic.
Yeah, to be clear, the he that I was just referring to was Seth's tweet about Sirianni. I want to be clear. Yes. No, I wasn't referring to Jalen.
I think that... I think that Nick is desperate to have his fingerprints on this.
John's got that theory, too.
See, that's what I'm wondering, Seth.
I just feel like, you know, the story should be your team, not the head coach. And he dropped the ball on a great opportunity. because everybody thought that I was overreaching last week. I mean, did you see on social media some of the in-meeting conversations that he was having with the team?
Yes.
You know, I need you and you need me, you know, the whole Barney thing going on.
You didn't like it?
I'm like, where'd that come from? I've never seen that before. And people were like, oh, on the Eagles broadcast, you know, they do it all the time. But I'm not cued into that, so I'm not watching that. So I'd never seen it before, but it was all over social media.
Sure.
And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, they're trying to resuscitate his, you know, his image.
I agree with that.
And I didn't have a problem with it because as an organization, if you believe that this guy's your guy, that's what you should do.
I agree with you.
Okay, but then you got the thing with the you got the thing with the fans, and then you got this indirect thing with the fans. Yesterday, your team is winning, and they're booing you, and they're upset with some of the decisions that you're making, and you know you kind of dropped the ball on getting your image right with the fans and the media. Because listen, we talked about him in his interaction with the fans, when we should have been talking about the game and the fact that the Eagles won the game.
Well, let me ask this question to that.
Today is the same thing.
So
we're not talking about the game. We're not talking about, you know, Saquon and Jalen playing a great game and the defense being a step up and the linebackers both, you know, getting an interception. We're talking about the idiocy of the head coach again. And it should never be about him. It should be about his football team.
So, Seth, I agree with some of what you're saying, but here's where I'll push back. First off, as a show, we're trying to talk about as much of all of it as we can. There's only so much we can fit into 4 hours. Here's what I'll say. They got a 4-game winning streak, and I'm convinced he's a part of that. And I think he's a big part of it.
I think that they've succeeded in spite of him.
No, I know you do. I really do. But I also hear something like N'Kobe Dean talking to Kenny Gainwell and Jalen Hurts, you know, during training camp. And I think, you know, Sirianni's messaging about togetherness and connectivity, you know, you can win a game from that kind of thing if that's been infused into the players over the years. Look, I'm not saying he didn't have some bad decisions yesterday, but I don't think Look, he went for a 4th-and-3.
There was nothing justifiable about what he did.
Well, how about 4th-and-3?
You take the damn points, man.
You take
the points at all times. You don't take an extra point off the board.
Sure you do.
No, you don't.
The ball's on the 1-yard line, and I have Jalen Hurts.
Not do it. You're playing an inferior team that you have an opportunity to dominate. Listen, you know what? The other thing that he screwed up yesterday. They had an opportunity to rest Saquon Barkley instead of having him touch the ball 30
Amen.
Times in a game.
I know.
Because you know what? If they would have dominated in the first half by taking all of those points, now the mindset is different. Now you got Vic Fangio. You put him on his heels because you're of your idiocy. Instead of your defense being able to maintain being aggressive, now all of a sudden he's playing passive because he's trying to make up for the nonsense that you've done.
Okay, John, let me ask you a question. Seth, I hear your point of view. John, don't you think if the other team commits a penalty and the ball's on the 1-yard line, that in that exact score, that they should go for a 2-point conversion with Jalen Hurts?
You're drunk off of analytics, Joe, just like everybody else. They're drunk off of this nonsense.
But Seth, their conversion on 1 yard has been so high.
Mike Tomlin wouldn't have never done that, okay?
What about when you go up and try to draw him off sides in that situation? Like,
I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with going up, trying to draw him off sides, which we tried to do in this game.
Seth, I'm going to ask, I think I asked you this about a month ago with one of these instances. I'm going to ask it again. Before the Philly special was run, did you think it was a mistake to go for 4th-and-goal from the 1?
Well, the Super Bowl is different. You got all the marbles on the table here. Okay, there is no tomorrow.
Yeah, but a game's a game. You're just trying to win that game.
You're absolutely trying to win.
Now, different opponents and different level quarterbacks. You can make the case Philly special, I need that 7 because I'm facing Brady. He's going to put up 30-35, which happened, okay? So I get that. But, I mean, I'm just wondering, do you remember in the moment if you were for going for it?
Go ahead, Rhea, because you know what? It's two different circumstances. I know what you was about to say.
It is two different circumstances. It's not the same thing. You had to score those points. You didn't have to score 37 points, but you could have yesterday.
No, I understand.
And it's a terrible opponent, a coach who's on the hot seat. You get up on them 20-0 at halftime. They are packing their bags to head back to Jacksonville.
Well, apparently not, because weren't the Eagles up 22 to nothing?
22 to nothing. In the third quarter, so
that,
yeah, no
but,
less.
And that was,
right, no,
yeah, but
I mean,
all I'm saying is if you had just kept taking those points, that was a factor of that bad call.
Look, Seth, I didn't like to go in for the 4th and 3 in the first half. I've been very clear about that all day. But I also recognize there have been numerous times this year where the Eagles have gone for that type of thing, and it worked. I mean, they had a touchdown, I think it was to Devontae, might have been AJ, 2 or 3 weeks ago, in that sort of same situation.
It was a 4th and 3.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you know, we can't act like it doesn't pay off sometimes.
You get lucky sometimes. You know, analytics is a 50-50 proposition.
John, why am I the only one taking on Seth? He's going to bite my head off here.
No,
am I
not.
Wrong? I'm joking. You know I'm joking.
What I'm trying to tell you is you have to read the situation.
I agree.
Okay?
I agree.
In the Super Bowl, it was very apparent that the defense wasn't going to be able to stop Tom. He threw for over 500 yards.
No question.
Jim Schwartz didn't want to talk about that, but he threw for 500 yards in a Super Bowl of all games.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson knew that every single point was crucial for them winning that football game. So in that case, you make the decisions that warrant the situation.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, yesterday, none of those decisions warranted the situation. You had the game won at every single point until you made the fatal flaw.
What about the 57-yard field goal? You got three choices there. 57-yard field goal, punt, go for fourth down.
Listen, if you ain't gonna kick it from 25, don't trot him out there. You did that same nonsense.
I didn't like that at all.
He did the same thing a couple of weeks ago. He wouldn't take. Then he ran him out there for a 60-yarder.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I'm like, now you understand why I feel the way that I feel.
I didn't like that one. All right, more with Seth, plus the Merrill montage, how it sounded, Merrill and Mike, on a tremendous call yesterday of all the thrilling plays. We'll get to that coming up in 1 minute. Merrill and Mike with the call. Let's listen to how the game sounded here on WIP with some of the more notable plays, particularly a lot of great play. I mean, historically great plays by the Eagles yesterday. Merrill and Mike with great calls.
We're going to need a montage.
The punt by Braden Mann. It is a wobbler coming up, taking it as Trammell. He's hit. He fumbles, and I think the Eagles have it. Back goes Hurts. He is floating it for Barkley, who catches it for a touchdown.
This is a difficult catch, but he makes it for a 20-yard touchdown.
Attention. The Eagles have scored in the first quarter for the first time this season. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life. He hurdles a guy backwards.
What
am I watching?
Back goes Lawrence. He pumps, he fires. It is deflected, and it is intercepted by the Eagles on the deflection. Zach Bond. They hand the ball off to Barkley. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown! Barkley! And they get it. They push, and they shove, and they move the pile, and they do not get the extra points. But they're still up 16 to nothing. Hurts this time. Fakes it. Keeps it. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown! Leaping Jalen Hurts. Well, they tried to push at the end of the first half. They push and they shove and
they're waving it off again.
Hurts comes back. He gives it off to Barkley. Barkley crawls along the ground. Fumbles the football. The Jaguars pick it up. They're running down the field and in for the touchdown goes Trayvon Walker. This time it is a sneak and it is a touchdown. It is a touchdown as Trevor Lawrence goes in on a one-yard quarterback sneak.
Now there's a reason for concern.
The push-tush, which has failed two straight times for extra points. Hurts, he is rolling, he is looking, he stops. He's coming back the other way. He is firing it, and it is incomplete. And the Eagles are in trouble.
So many misfires in this football game.
Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed. I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's
Smitty.
In! He's in!
Oh, my
one
goodness.
Hand! I don't know how he did it.
Smitty is unbelievable.
Back goes Lawrence. He's looking. He's going to run. He is in for the touchdown. It is 28-22. They will kick the extra point to make this a 5-point game. 4:04 remaining to be played in this game. Lawrence back. Lawrence looks. Firing for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted the Kobe Dean! The Eagles are going to escape! The Kobe Dean
saved the game!
And the Eagles have beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars 28-23.
But great work by Merrill and Mike.
That's incredible.
And good work by Joe Wechter putting that together. And, of course, Eagles players with, I mean, some very special moments in that game yesterday. That was something. Let's get to Dan in Philadelphia right now. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
Doing great, Dan.
What's up, Dan?
I don't understand how you guys are even a sports talk radio show at this point. Like, that montage was terrible. You were impressed with Saquon Barkley jumping backwards over people and Smitty's catching. I mean, you guys do realize the biggest news of yesterday. And, John, I'm shocked at you. Is we actually have a fullback that caught a pass for 3 yards. Like, how did he get hurt in the montage? John, I thought of you immediately. I was shocked. I was like, oh my God, we actually have a fullback. I don't even remember his name or his number, but I just know he was a fullback.
He started the game.
Van something.
Van Sumeren.
Ben Sumeren, whatever he is, that's proof that you shouldn't be throwing.
That wasn't a 3 yard pass. Caught the ball, got hit upside the head, and we didn't see him no more the rest of the day.
You guys got to do a better job of picking this.
Boy, Dan, I didn't know where you were going, man, but you got there. I was like, wait, what am I missing here?
No, hey Seth, I agree with you 100%. Like, he does so much stupid stuff that is unnecessary. It is almost like he's purposely trying to draw attention to himself. Like, he needs to be his name needs to be said each week. I feel like he needs that, and that's why he does this stupid, idiotic stuff. Whether it's arguing with a fan or going for a 2-point, Joe, and I understand your point, but again, it's unnecessary at the time. You're up so much.
I don't know that he needs attention.
And it's not about necessary or unnecessary. Dan, I'm going to ask you the question just directly. Ball's on the 1 yard line. You got a 16 point lead. Do you do a 2-point conversion or keep the one point on the board?
You know who can't get hurt during an extra point? Jalen Hurts or an offensive lineman or Saquon Barkley. I mean, you increase the injury factor.
If
you need to do it, it's a great play to have. But if you don't need to do it, it's not. And I got to ask you one favor, Joe, because every time you say this, and you've been saying it a lot, I don't know if you picked up on it.
What do I do?
I imagine you in a blonde wig. You keep saying totally. Like,
totally?
Like you're a girl, yeah, like you're a girl from the 90s. Like, totally.
He's like a Valley girl.
Oh, yeah. Valley, totally. Yeah,
like gag me with a spoon.
Hey Dan.
Yeah.
You ready for me to hang up on you?
Yes, I am. Have a great day, guys.
You too, buddy. All right, man. Dan's a great caller. He's a funny guy. 2155. Like, totally. Well, it is exciting to have a 6-2 team. And I don't want to say it came out of nowhere, but it came a little bit out of nowhere. I mean, a few weeks ago, we were wondering if this was going to be a 7-10 season. And then
some people were saying, hey, we're going to be 6-2 because the
schedule. You are the one person, John, that said it very clearly. Maybe others said it and I didn't hear it, or they said it a little wishy-washy. You predicted 6-2 at 2-2.
And the schedule...
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
led us to this point. Now
that is a big part.
Now things, you know, get well. This week is different. This week feels like they're the walking wounded, and totally. And I don't want to jinx anything yet. We're not even going there.
All right, we got Seth in studio with us. So, Seth, let's talk about the other two big things that happened Philadelphia sports the last 3 days. The Kelce thing. Whatever direction you want to take it, what do you make of the situation?
I understand his anger, but his actions are, in my opinion, are reprehensible. I mean, if that's somebody else, do they get a free pass? Is everybody, like, with the pom-poms cheering? And I love the guy.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely love the guy. But, and I understand the emotions of the minute, you know, but when you're in that position, we tell everybody else, every other player, every other coach, oh, you gotta control your emotions. You know, he destroyed somebody else's property because of something that they said. Not something that they did to him, but something that they said to him that he probably could have responded with words.
Sure.
So, you know, what's the level of, you know, what's his punishment going to be, or what's going to be the situation? Because depending on who you are, you know, punishments vary.
No, that's true. What is, Seth, what is the, and you might not be able to state it on the air because of curses and stuff, but what is the type of thing that is the worst thing, and I got to imagine it could be racial, and that's really sad and awful, the worst thing ever said to you that you walked away from, and how difficult was it to walk away and not respond?
I don't know. You know, I guess over my career, nobody has ever, you know, crossed the line, so to speak. I think that I'm mentally strong enough that when people come at me, even with a racial thing, like I know who I am. Just because you call me something doesn't make me that person. So I'm mentally strong enough to look at it, you know, look at your ignorance, you know, for stating that, and me to be secure in who I am to understand that what you call me is not what I am.
You know, is it harder if it's about your brother? You know, in this case, defending his brother.
It's an interesting thing, John. Yeah, that's. I see what you're saying.
I guess it's different. I mean, you know,
like
if it was your mom, you know, something like that. You know,
I think it's like, wait a second.
Yeah, I may come over the table on you, Joe. when it comes to my mama. Now,
it's family.
Now, that's a good question, John.
So the first, and it's kind of not the same, but you know. The first time we played the Eagles in Arizona, the first time I was there, you know, I'm usually the last person out getting treatment, doing interviews, signing autographs, the whole thing. So my mom was in town, and we were, you know, we were headed to the car.
Can I ask one question? The game here or the game in Arizona?
Gotcha. Arizona. Yeah. So an Eagles fan runs up to me with a photo, and he asked me to sign it. So I sign it. And I hand it back to him. He says, thank you. I say, you're welcome. And he proceeds to, like, shred it up.
Mm.
And he, like, goes in with just F-bombs and everything. And my mom was fiery, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just jumped into mom bear mode, you know. And I said, Mom, don't worry about it. I was like, here, take the key, go to the car. I got it. And I looked at him. I said, what you want me to do is you want me to kick your ass so you can sue me. He said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I say, you have a great day. Yeah, he called me a traitor and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that took a lot of restraint.
Oh, I'm sure, listen, that's a fascinating story. So I've read this quote on the air before, but I want to read it again. It certainly applies. It's one of my favorite. Bruce Lee said about 50 years ago, he said, you will continue to suffer if you have an emotional reaction to everything that is said to you. True power is sitting back and observing everything with logic. If words control you, that means everyone else can control you. Breathe and allow things to pass. The problem is, as great as this quote is, it's great. Human nature, a lot of times, is to react. I mean, it just is. All right, so let's talk about the Jewel situation.
Yeah, that does not. That quote
doesn't work on my insides.
I know, John.
I can hear that, and it makes a ton of sense.
Right.
But the way my guts feel.
Totally.
Bruce was unresponsive to those words. Bruce was young, but very wise.
No question.
What he's talking about is something that develops with maturity and over time. Because when I was young, like some of the same things that, you know, people could say to me today, and I let it, you know, roll off my back like water off a duck's back. Oh, you got a fat lip right now. I can't tell you when I was in high school and junior high school how many fights I got in because of something that people said. And over the years and the maturity that goes on, when you come to the realization that really when someone says something to you, that's their opinion of you. That's not who you are.
Of course not, yeah.
And the fact that you get upset about it, you give validity in some ways to what they're saying.
Yeah, no, I got you. All right, let's talk about the Joel one, and then we'll get back to the phones. So any part of it, what he said Friday, what happened Saturday night, what Marcus Hayes initially wrote, what do you make of any of this?
Joel's been here long enough to understand, you know, what's going on. And the one thing you can't do is you can't fight the media or the fans in Philadelphia. It's a no-win proposition.
Especially physically fight. Like, well, listen, he got physical.
I can't really comment on it because I don't know exactly, you know, what it is that Marcus said to him that would enrage him in such a way. I can't believe that he would write something in a public newspaper to disparage, you know, his father or his brother in some way.
Brother and son.
He mentioned that.
And I wouldn't say disparage, but I'd say here's a mistake I think Marcus made. He was trying to make the point that Joel has talked for a couple of years that after his son was born, that he's turned a new leaf, and is more focused, dedicated, and wants to do things to make his son proud. The problem is, and that's fine. Number one, we don't know that necessarily he's followed through on that, okay? But okay, that's his viewpoint. That's fine. The problem with the article, the initial article, was that Marcus tied the son being named after his brother who passed away, same name, and tied it together. That's, to say unnecessary is an understatement. It's inappropriate. It's an unworthy mention. And there's no relevancy to his brother dying to whether Joel Embiid does or does not commit himself to fully maximize his career. And then it tied into the son and the brother having the same name.
Well, listen, right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, when you're writing and you're trying to find the right words to say and the right way to, you know, I mean, when I write my show every Monday night, it's the same thing. You know, I go through many iterations of trying to get the wording right for what it is that I'm trying to say. And, you know, sometimes you just, and I'm not defending Marcus. I'm not defending him in any way, shape, fashion or form, but I'm just saying, you know, when you're writing an article, you know, you're trying to give that wow effect, and you're trying to, and, you know, sometimes it may not come totally off, and maybe it did come off exactly how he meant for it to come off.
He did apologize back then. I mean, they did change what's online. Now, it's still out there, yeah. But, I mean, you know, let's get some calls, and obviously these are topics that will roll into tomorrow's show. And, of course, Jason with us on Thursday's show.
I'll say this. You know, I think what you're seeing from Joel is just frustration. You know, frustration that he can't get on the basketball court, because I don't believe that he doesn't want to play. And I think that was part of, you know, what Marcus said, and that probably pissed him off too.
Sure.
Is that, oh, he doesn't even want to play. No, he wants to play.
Of course he does.
He just can't play. And the Sixers are being unforthright about what is what is really wrong with him.
Agreed.
And I'm not saying that I got any kind of inside information, but, you know, when you start talking about swelling and meniscus and, you know, bone on bone, you know, listen, where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, Daryl Morey and the Sixers would do well to just come out and be out front and honest with the fans and say, hey, he's got this, this, and this, and this is what the circumstances are going to be. But you throw it out there, this plan, and you don't tell anybody exactly what the heck's going on. And the fans and the media are pissed off because your superstar that you just extended for $190+ million dollars, all of a sudden, he's not playing after playing in the Olympics in the summertime.
Well, well summed up. All right, with that said, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
Okay, yeah, they won the game, and that's the most important thing, but they are not going to be true contenders if Sirianni keeps making these terrible decisions and Jalen keeps having that ball glued to his hand back there. Frustrating and concerning. They need to clean it up.
Look, Jalen played a lot better as the game went on. He does still take some sacks. He shouldn't, but for the whole, he played an outstanding game yesterday. He really did.
Can we just admit that the tush push does not work like it used to? Kelsey's gone. He's retired. Mailata's hurt. Can we just not run it because we're getting stopped twice by the Jacksonville freaking Jaguars? There's no push there anymore, and everybody's expecting it.
Look,
yeah, it does feel like if it's going to continue. Look, it netted poor results. You've got a lot of other plays you can run in short yardage and goal line situations.
It will hurt them as a team, though, if the advantage has gone away, because it was a big advantage. I don't think the advantage is gone, but it might be lessened now.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, I completely agree with you that, you know, after the penalty, there's a yard. It's very tempting, and maybe you should go for it. But what bothers me is that he literally took a point off the board to do it. Like, I don't know.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Try that crap another time. I think that's the issue for me and a lot of fans.
Well,
I like the aggression.
Here's what I'd say to that guy. Let's just say when the Eagles scored the touchdown, there's a personal foul by the other team, and you get to move the ball closer before you kick the extra point, you get the ball at the 1 yard line. So, would you go for it?
I really want my coach to say yes. I believe you guys can get that every time. So, go. 1 yard, of course. But then I understand Seth's point on that too.
Yeah, but it's not about
my coach to want us to go and win it, like, and believe
the
that
only
we get
time
that every
I want
time.
My coach going for it is when it's necessary. If it ain't necessary, don't do it. Because what's the benefit of being up 17 to nothing or 18 to nothing? Absolutely nothing.
N'Kobe Dean just saved Sirianni's butt. He should have to be his butler for the rest of the month. That's the worst coach game I've ever seen by any head coach in my life. He's a moron.
Look, I will say there are two different things going on here, and one is not getting any discussion. There's in-game decisions, but then there's preparing a team to play. The Eagles were very prepared to play yesterday. You might not like the Sirianni decisions, but Sirianni had his football team ready to play.
Well, we won the football game. Thank you, N'Kobe Dean, you beautiful man, you.
All right.
It was a beautiful play.
It was tremendous.
Truly beautiful. That was not an easy catch.
Oh, I was shocked when he caught it. I was stunned when he caught it. And with that, time's yours, we shut it down.
The time's yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
Right, we got to do a couple things before we get out of here. First, we got to wrap up our Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. The poll question. Perhaps the two best plays in the history of the Eagles. Again, I just want to state this. Not for winning a game purpose, winning a championship purpose, but individual athletic greatness for a play. Which was more impressive, Saquon's play yesterday or Randall's 95-yard TD when he eluded Bruce Smith in 90 in the end zone in Buffalo? All right, John, I've got the poll results in front of me. Which would you vote for, John?
I think probably Randall.
Okay.
Going way back. And I think the nostalgia aids his cause.
See, I think it's going to hurt his cause.
The immediacy bonus goes to Saquon?
That's my guess. All right. And by the way, we also know on Twitter there are some people too young to have seen that live, and maybe you've seen it on replay, maybe you haven't, so I'm aware of that reality. James, I mean, that's 34 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
James, which would you vote for?
I would vote for Randall.
Okay, Rhea?
You hurt my feelings with this poll because you know Randall is my favorite player of all time. But what Saquon did, I've never seen anything like that.
Haven't either.
Ever.
So I'll say this. What Randall did, I also haven't seen because he ducked at a certain moment against one of the probably five best defensive linemen of all time, or at least the ends. And it so I would go with Randall, and here's why. It leads to a touchdown, and it wasn't only the duck and the athleticism, but then the heave, which landed, you know, about 50, 55, 60 yards down
the
field.
Do you remember the date of that? Like, does your weird brain remember the date?
No.
Year?
No, month? But it was October or November, I believe, of 90. All right, Seth, you were in the game. Which would you vote for just pure athletic brilliance?
That was normal watching Randall do stuff like that.
Exactly.
I mean, what Saquon did yesterday, I mean, to have the – and it's reflective. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's spinning. He knows he's going to get caught with his back to him. And to jump up like that, you know, to leap over a guy going the other way. Now, those types of plays weren't – you know, nobody back in my day did those types of things. That was the most amazing thing that I've seen
Walter Payton
in a long time.
Walter Payton would jump over guys.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Walter would jump over guys going forward. A lot of guys today would jump over guys going forward. But to get yourself turned around and have the wherewithal to know that this guy's not trying to tackle me high,
right?
He's going to go low.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just going to bounce
after a great spin move that had already happened.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah.
That, okay. So, John,
unlikely
the 60% say Saquon, 40% say Randall. Yeah. Seth, final thing, and if you can keep it on the short side, we got to get to Joe and Hugh. Like 20 seconds. How was it with the Hall of Fame ceremony and you being around the guests?
Well, I didn't get a chance to go because of I called Shady and I texted him and I told him congrats. You know, all the best to you. You deserve it 100%. But I couldn't be there yesterday.
Gotcha. All right. Seth, we love having you in studio. For those that think that Seth and I are about to get in a fight, no,
we are.
That would be so awesome.
By the way, that we are wasn't for Penn State losing, right? I just want to check.
Oh, wow. You're so wrong for that.
All right. Look, I was rooting for Penn State, but my God. They'll never get that W. They'll just never get it.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.